Welcome to this week's class in Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Lahavin Inyan HaNesachim. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on Shabbos Parsha Shlach, that year was the 23rd day in the month of Sivan. It was also Shabbat that blessed the month of Tammuz in the year Tav Shin Mem Zayin, which was 37 years ago. So Rebbe begins and he says to understand the idea of the Nesachim, the libations, that speaks about the end of this week's Torah portion, again, the Torah portion of Parsha Shlach. So it says over there as follows, Kisavoyu al Eretz Moshe Seichem, when you're going to come into the land of your dwelling. So it speaks about the mitzvah of the libations that were brought on the altar. Rebbe says we have to understand what's the connection of the Torah portion that deals and speaks about libations with the story of the decree of the spies not going into the land of Israel right before that. What's the connection between them? Now, Rebbe says in the Medrash it says that this Torah portion is coming to take away the brokenness that unfortunately the Jewish people could have had after the issue with the spies. Because what happened was we were broken. There was a spies and we cried. So therefore it comes along now and it tells us, guess what? Relax, you're going into the land of Israel. You're going to come, even though they sinned and even though they brought back a bad report and even though you cried and you whined. But nevertheless, Baruch Hashem, you're still going to go into the land of Israel. That's what the Medrash says. But just one second, we have to understand. The fact is, going into the land of Israel, it's mentioned in this Torah portion by the libations, it's obviously talking about in order to bring the libations, you have to be in Israel, and when the time we're in Israel. But it's not really talking about going into the land of Israel, it's talking specifically more about the libations. So then back, so therefore brings back to the question, what's the connection with the libations and the spies? Also, since we know the Torah is considered Chachmaschem Vinaschem Le'enei Amim, it's the wisdom and understanding in front of the nations. So obviously you have to say that there is a reason that the two parshiot of the libations and the spies, there's a connection, because the fact is the libations didn't happen until 39 years later. And why is it, and since it didn't happen so many years later, why is it talking about right next to the Meraglim? Okay, so Rebbe says this idea is explained in the Chassidic discourses. And he starts off with the Lakut Torah from the Alter Rebbe, and in the Chassidic discourses from the Mittler Rebbe, and from the Tzemach Tzedek, and they start off with an introduction about the whole idea of the libations. In other words, that we're going to understand the idea of libations based on what it says in Chazal. That whoever recites Shema without putting on tefillin is as if you brought a carbon oila, a sacrifice that was totally burnt to Hashem, without the libations, or a different type of sacrifice without libations. In other words, there's with two mitzvahs: the mitzvah to say Shema and the mitzvah to wear tefillin. So if you just go ahead and say Shema and you don't put on tefillin, that's like bringing a sacrifice without the carbon mincha, without the libations. In other words, this that he compares, saying Shema to a carbon oila, a sacrifice, and tefillin, he compares it to a carbon mincha and the libations. So it's self understood that the revolutionary idea of the libations compared to the sacrifices is like the revolutionary idea of tefillin over Shema. And then if that's the case, so now we have already a hint that what do you have? Sacrifices, and you have libations, the Karban Mincha. You have Shema, and you have the tefillin. So if you want to know what the libations are, let's learn about Shema, which that will tell us about these sacrifices. We'll learn about tefillin spiritually, and that will teach us what the libations are. It never explains as follows. We know that what's the whole idea of Shema? When someone says Shema, spiritually it's called elevating, and I'll say it in Hebrew, I'll translate it, milmata lamayla. You're elevating the physical world on high. Which, as we know, when you say Shema, when it's a person says Shema, you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, one God, and you're willing to give over your life to the one God. It means you're willing, it's elevating the physical world, the materialistic world, the coarse world, to Hashem. However, what's the idea of tefillin? Tefillin is bringing down godliness into the world. Why? Because what's the mitzvah of putting on tefillin is that we have to dedicate our mind and our heart. Hebrew, it's called Shibud HaMoach V'Halev. In other words, the whole essence of tefillin is to bring down godliness in our mind and our heart. So you see, it's polar opposite. Shema is all about, I want to leave the world, elevating the world to Hashem. Tefillin is, no, let's bring godliness into the world, bring godliness into my mind, into my heart. Not only that, when we find, but when it comes to tefillin, so you have the tefillin you put on your hand and tefillin you put on the head. What's the main tefillin? The one you put on the head. And like we see clearly, the Rambam writes, when it comes to the, when he discusses the obligation of putting on tefillin on the hand and the head, he discusses first the one on the head, because that's the main mitzvah. Now, even though in the verse it says about putting the one on the hand first, and you put on the one in the hand first, but nevertheless, the Rambam talks about the head first. Why? Because the main mitzvah is the head. And not only that, when it comes to putting on tefillin, so you have the straps that come from the head, we know it goes down. It goes down, it hangs down in front of you. And the straps go like this. So basically you have the box on the head. In the box you have the parashiyot, and then you have the straps which go through the box which is connected to the parashiyot, and they come down and they hang in front of you. When on the other hand, when you the tefillin that you put on your hand, you wrap it around your hand, it stays on your head. No, so basically it's really connected to the hand. But however, when it comes to the one on the head, it actually comes down to our lower level. What does that mean? It's coming down to the lower level physically. So physically, it's coming down to a physical lower level. But spiritually, is the goal is to bring it down to the lowest places. Bringing down the energy down to the lowest physical places. And like Chazal tell us that, for example, you shouldn't put your hand underneath your stomach. Or like, for example, the famous part of the Talmud where it says that from half of your body and up, that's connected to Hermes, which is a positive energy, and from the half and the bottom is like Ahermes, which is a negative energy, and so you see, what do you see? That the idea of the Tefillin Shoroish, which is the main one, is the goal is to bring it down what to the lowest level. And here in that itself, you have what? There's two straps that come down, which one is corresponds to Sur Meirah, going away from evil, and the other one is doing good, which basically is right and left, and it's all about bringing God down into going away from evil and to doing good in the world. So in other words, what do you see? What's the whole idea of Tefillin? Tefillin is to bringing down God and godliness into this physical, materialistic world. Now, the truth is that Shema, when you say Shema and you wear tefillin, technically it's two different mitzvot. Why? Because it's possible to say Shema without tefillin. Like, for example, we see every Shabbat and every Yom Tov, we don't wear tefillin, but we still say Shema. On the other hand, it's possible to put on tefillin without saying Shema. Like, for example, there's a Jewish law that if somebody's going outside on Shabbat and you see tefillin, so you put on one pair and you bring it inside, and you take the other one, you bring it inside. So the purpose of putting on the tefillin is not to say Shema, the purpose is to bring it inside. So you see that tefillin is one mitzvah and Shema is another mitzvah. So that's the revolutionary idea where it says that when you have to have Shema with tefillin. In other words, what's the idea? Why Shema with tefillin? If I can say Shema, I say Shema. I put on tefillin, I'm bringing down godliness. Because the goal is to have the unification of both. And as you're unifying both different spiritual activities. Shema, on the other hand, you want to leave. Tefillin, you want to bring it down. And you're unifying two opposite forces at one time. And like we know, that's when a person serves Hashem, you have to serve Hashem not just in one way, or not just in another way, you serve Hashem in both. One hand, you want to leave this world, you want to connect to Hashem. And the other hand, you want to bring God into the world. Like in the Kabbalistic term, it's called Ratzui, right? You want to leave. And Shuv, you want to bring godliness in the world. And that's Krishma, you want to leave. And Tefillin, you want to bring it back in. And like we find when God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, that in the beginning when God gave it, it was so powerful that our souls left our body. But then Hashem brought us back in. So on one hand, Hashem gave a powerful energy we wanted to leave. On the other hand, Hashem said, no, you got to stay into this world. And that's the revolutionary idea that you have to have the unification of two opposites. And like we find In Torah, it says that from the right, there's Eish Das Lamoy. In other words, that you have the right, and on the other hand, you have fire. Right is more chesed, and fire is more gvura, leaving. So you have basically the rotzi and the shuv, leaving and coming back together. Because Torah is really what? It's all one. Leaving and coming back and drawing in the energy into the world, it's all the same thing. And that's why it says, God says, V'salachti, I'm going to go b'soichachem amongst you. So it says V'salachti, plural. There's two types of going. On one hand, we're going melmaila lamata, we're bringing godliness into the world. On the other hand, what? Melmata lamaila, we're elevating the world, and they're both in the same word. V'salachti, God's going both ways. He's leaving and coming in. Our job is to leave and go in. So when we put on krishma, when we say shema, when we put on tefillin, at one moment we're trying to leave the world, but then again we're trying to bring godliness back into the world. And that's the power of saying shema and putting on tefillin. It's like two opposites. Either we want to leave, ecstasy, or we want to bring godliness here. And the answer is yes, we want to do both at the same time. How do we do it? And that's the power of saying Shema while you're wearing tefillin. So based on this, we'll understand the connection of a carbon oila and nesachim, which we said is two opposites. And we said it's connected to the idea of krishma and tefillin. Why? Because a carbon oila, a sacrifice, and a sachem libation is also the same two ideas of trying to leave and bringing in like krishma and tefillin. Why is that? Because when it comes to the difference between a sacrifice and libations, well, how does that work? When you take a sacrifice, you put it on the altar with fire, so everything gets burnt, and it gets burnt to Hashem. A carbon oil, like, all gets burnt to Hashem. On the other hand, so that's melmata lamaila. You're taking the physical world and you're taking it out of this world. On the other hand, what's a libation? It's to bring down into this world. They would pour on the altar, and it would go down. It would go down into the trough, and from there it would go down to the lowest level, literally to the lowest level. So just like krishma is trying to leave the world and tefillin is coming back to the world, the same thing also, carbon oil is leaving and the nesachim is bringing it back in. So based on this, we'll understand the connection of the Torah portion that speaks about the libations is because the purpose of the libations, as we said, is to bring it down into this world. And it's not enough trying to leave the world. And as you want to take all the highest levels, and like I explained, the Chassidic discourse is that when you brought a libation, what was the ingredients? There was oil. And what's the spiritual significance of oil? Oil, we know, is connected to the sphere of Chachma. They would bring wine, and wine is connected to the sphere of Bina. And then they would bring flour, which is connected to the sphere of Das. So between the oil, the wine, and the flour is Chachma, Bina, and Das. And like we know what it says, that a child doesn't know how to call his father until he tastes the grain, which it says Yodea, no, which is connected to the sphere of Das. And the libations is high levels, Chachma, Bina, Das, and you bring it down till the lowest level into the earth. Okay, so what we learned so far, that just like krishma is about leaving the world, tefillin is bringing it in, a sacrifice is about leaving, elevating the world, and libations is bringing it in. But what are you bringing? You're bringing the highest levels, Chachma Bina Das. So now we're going to understand the connection between the libations and the Torah portion that speaks about the Meraglim as follows. What's the connection? Because this, that the Meraglim wanted to stay in the desert, and they didn't want to go into the land of Israel. Why was that? Because they were a very, very high level. And like it's explained, the Chassidic discourse is the powerful high level the spies were. In other words, when they were in the desert, they were on a very, very spiritual level. And they didn't want to go into the land of Israel. Over there, you have to work the land for 6 years. You have to work the vineyard for 6 years. And like literally, there's an expression from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai who says, and this was his expression, I'll say it in Hebrew, I'll translate. Adam Chayreyash, Adam Zayreya, Torah Mateyala, you're going to sit and you're going to work in the field, you're going to plant in the field, what's going to be with Torah? So in the desert, they loved it. They didn't have to work, they just were able to learn Torah to connect to Hashem. They were totally cleaving to Hashem. Not only that, even the materialism they had in the desert was also on a very high level. Because we know the bread they had was from heaven. And the water was from where? From the well of Miriam. and even the clouds of glory, they weren't just to protect them, but they actually added dignity to the Jewish people. And these clouds were always there. It was always there to protect them. So they were very, very high level. There was something he liked to add, even because it says when they were in the desert, it says Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yisohu. They traveled based on what Hashem told them to travel, and they stopped when Hashem told them to stop. In other words, they were always fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashem. Whatever they were doing Hashem. They were camped Hashem. They were with Hashem. They were traveling with Hashem. Not only that, when it says in the Talmud, since it says Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, that they camped based on the way Hashem told them, and they traveled based on the way Hashem told them, so when they were there, they were fully there, even though they were there for a short time, because Hashem was with them. And ever since we know the saying of the previous Rebbe, the reference to the spiritual work today, that even though Mashiach's coming, so it's just like the way the Jewish people did the spiritual work in the tabernacle, because sometimes they were only in a place for one day, and like the verse says that there were times that the cloud was there from the evening till the morning, and then they would travel, and then even if they were there for one day, they established a full tabernacle and the full with all the bells and whistles, and just like they when they camped, for example, in Kadesh Barnea, there for 19 years, so it was a full encampment. When they did it for one day, they did it also fully for one day. So if it was one day or 19 years, Hashem was fully present with them always. So in other words, when they were in the desert, they were totally connected Al Pi Hashem. They were totally with Hashem. So the Jewish people in the desert, the generation of the spies, they were totally connected to Hashem in the most powerful ways. Not only that, it wasn't only in a way that they were established in one place, but they weren't growing. No, but they were, like Jerusalem says, they were going mechayel al chol. They were continuing growing in their relationship with Hashem, because we know there's a commandment in Torah to, you have to constantly elevate. So therefore, the spies, the generation of the desert, they wanted to stay in the desert. Why would they want to go into Israel, into the land of Israel? Well, but they have to work for 6 years, and then only at the seventh year you have Shabbos LaHashem, Shabbos Hashem. But in the desert, the whole time it was Shabbos for Hashem, and therefore they said, like the Rashbi said, a person's going to plow, a person's going to work. What's going to be your Torah? They just wanted to cleave to Hashem. And that's why the Midbar is called a place Asher Lo Yoshev Adam Sham. A person didn't dwell there. What does that mean? Because it means it was Lo Yoshev Adam. It's not on the level of Adam of man, but it was even higher. Because Adam is spelled with three letters, Aleph, Dalet, Mem, and it's the same letters of Ma'oid, very. Which means B'chol Ma'oidcha, with all your might, which is without any limits. So therefore, the spies, they didn't want to stay over there. And that's why they wanted to stay in the desert and to serve Hashem on that level and could grow into serving Hashem. And they didn't want to go into the land of Israel. So now, because we realize how powerful and how entrenched they were in the avodah of what? Milmata l'mayla. They just wanted to cleave to Hashem. In the desert, they were cleaving to Hashem and cleaving higher, and they were getting higher and higher to Hashem. And that's why Hashem put the Torah portion of the libations right after the spies. Why? Because in order to fix what the Meraglim were doing, you have to do just the opposite. And what's the opposite? No, we have to go into the land of Israel, Kisavaya La'aretz, and over there to deal with the libations, which basically means bringing down godliness physically into this world. So that's the first idea. That what? The goal of going, the reason why Hashem put the two together, the spies and the libations, because the spies was all about, they wanted to leave, and that was a big mistake, because you need to come down, and that's why you have the Nesachim, is to bring you down and to create the fusion of the two. Everybody goes on a step further and says this. You could also say that the connection between the Torah portion of the Nesachim and the Torah portion of the spies is not only that when they went into the land of Israel and they did the spiritual work of the libations, is to fix the sin of the spies, but it's even more that. It's even deeper, which is actually a continuation that what the Jewish people were in the desert, like the spies that wanted. And he explains like this. This that the Jewish people were in the desert for 40 years on this very, very high level, cleaving to Hashem, no physical work, no distractions, or cleaving to Hashem. And what does that mean? That was actually a preparation of going into the land of Israel and the spiritual work in the land of Israel. Because specifically when they went ahead and they did their work of Ma'oidcha, they were totally dedicated to cleave to Hashem, and as they want to do the will of Hashem in the desert, so through by doing that work in a very, very strong way, you could have afterwards the opposite work of working with the world and bringing godliness to the world in a complete level. And Rebbe says, you can say, this is like the explanation, what it says in many, many places, that the expression is that the decree of these spies was that they were 40 years in the desert. So the question is, one second, the fact is they were only 39 years in the desert. Because when was the decree against the spies? That was the second year when they left Egypt. And not only that, in the second year, it wasn't the first month. It wasn't in the month of Nisan, it was the months afterwards. So why is it called a 40 years? If it wasn't full 40, it was only 39 less than 39, why is it called 40 years? Because when we say 40, we're not talking about only the physical counting of 40 years. We're talking to the spiritual component of 40, which we know 40 is connected to what? To the idea of the sphere of Bina. And it says clearly in Ethics of Our Fathers, Ben Arboim El Bina, when you reach 40, you reach level of Bina understanding. In other words, because the revelation that took place in the desert, what revelation was in the desert? What was shining in the desert? Was shining the sphere of Bina. And when they came into the land, what's the Eretz Yisrael? Which sphere is the land of Israel connected to? It's connected to the sphere of Malchus. So the desert was Bina. In the land of Israel's Malchus. And as we know, Eretz is come from the expression of Malchus. So therefore, you have to have, in order to go into the land of Israel, and to go into Malchus, you have to go through the other spheres first. And therefore, you have to have Bina first. Like the verse says, Ke'ima Bita. First, you have to go from the mother, which is represented by the Bina, and then you go into the Bita, which is Malchus. But, so even though Bina is on a higher level, and you have to go first into the desert Bina, and then you can come into Eretz Yisrael, which is Malchus, but we all know it says, afterwards, Nekeva, which is Malchus, the Soiviv Gover, is going to be much stronger. And what is it referring to? Malchus is going to be stronger. And that's, even though, again, Bina is higher, in order to go to Malchus, you have to go first through Bina, but the fact is, in order to reach the great revelation, the great accomplishment, what's going to be like in the future, you specifically have to go through Malchus. As we know, that it says clearly, when Mashiach comes, strangers are going to come, and they're going to take care of our pasture, like he's going to explain soon what that means. But the point he's bringing out is that, even though, again, Bina comes first, that's why we went to the desert, and then we have to go to the land of Israel, which is Malchus, but the ultimate goal is through Malchus, you go to even a higher level. And that, so based on this, he explains, that's the connection between bringing the story of the Nesachim, the libations, and the story of the spies. Because after you have the introduction that was decreed upon and they're going to be in the desert because of the spies, which means you had the introduction of the spiritual work in the desert, which means working on the sphere of Bina, then you come to the land that you're going to dwell in, which means to go into the land and you have to deal with physical things, and not only physical things, specifically the libations, because what's the revolutionary idea, again, of libations compared to sacrifice, which means bringing it down to the lowest level. Because when they were in the desert, they were elevating. And that's why they in the desert they were instructed to bring sacrifices, which that's about, you know, burning the flesh, elevating on high. But when they came into the land of Israel, over there they had to deal with the physical world. That's why they were commanded to go ahead and to bring the libations. But there is one second. We have to understand. What did we just learn before? That the spies was a huge mistake. Why? Because even though it's Bina and you're connecting to God, but that's a big mistake, because the ultimate is to come down into the physical world and transform the physical world, elevate the world. And like it's brought down in the Chassidic discourses, based on what it says in the Talmud, in reference to what the Talmud speaks about, what the Rashbi says, a person works, a person plans, what's going to be with Torah? So it says that many people did like Rashbi. that they were busy just learning Torah. They didn't deal with the physical world. But it says, well, they also the other, they weren't successful. But many did like Rabbi Shmuel, which means they worked the land, they were involved in materialism, and they were successful. Why? Because ultimately Hashem wants us to deal with the world. Shabbos is 1 second. But the fact is, what does it say later on in the same piece of Talmud? It speaks about the difference between the first parasha of Shema and the second parasha of Shema. And what does it say? It says, Ve'asafta de Goncha. You're going to gather the corn. So the question is, 1 second. Are we supposed to be busy elevating the world? Ve'asafta de Goncha? And the answer is that the first parasha of Shema speaks about when the Jewish people do the will of Hashem. So then, the strangers will come and they'll gather it all in for you. However, in the future when Mashiach comes, when that promise is going to be fulfilled, so then we're going to behave like Rashbi. And like, literally, like that's what the spies want to do. That they're not going to have to deal with it. And who's going to deal with it? The nations of the world are going to deal with it. So Rebbe says, 1 second. So are we supposed to be elevating the world? If that's the case, how come when Mashiach comes, we're not going to be elevating the world? The strangers are going to deal with elevating the world. If we just learned, the whole idea, the mistake was that they wanted to cleave to Hashem. They didn't want to elevate the world. So if that's the case, what's this whole idea? Mashiach comes, we're not going to have to elevate the world. And Rebbe explains beautifully, and he says like this. He'd like to say, and he says, it's possible explanation, that this, that we have to go ahead and elevate the physical world, that the reason why we have to elevate the world is to reveal the power that the neshama has, the power that the soul has. What does that mean? Rebbe says like this. Just like on high, when Hashem decided he wanted to create the world and create a world that God has concealed. So when he decided he wanted to create the world, it was all there. He saw the whole vision of planning. So why do you have to plate the world? Hashem wanted to create the world. Fine, in his mind, he created the world. Why do you have to physically create the world? But nevertheless, even though in theory he can visualize what he wanted to create, but he had to go ahead and create all the different levels of concealment and contraction and light. Why? To show that Hashem, to reveal his powers, that he's not limited just to Atzilut, Bria, but literally he can go ahead and create a world that God has concealed. And not just conceptually, but in reality. It should be revealed. So the same thing also, when it comes to our spiritual work, that we have a soul, which is a part of God, so we have to reveal the soul, that the soul has tremendous power, that's not only a soul that can learn Torah and do mitzvahs and meditate and pray, but no, the soul comes down to the physical world. It comes from the highest places to the lowest places. And especially like the author explains in Tanya Negeres HaKodesh, that when the soul comes down here, it's not only, it's so low that it's actually in exile. And it's explained that in many places in Chassidus, the power and the depth of the descent that it goes down to. So why does the soul come down here? To show the power the soul has. And in order to show the power the soul has, it has to come down lower and lower into the materialist world to show the real power of the soul. It's not limited only to high, to great things. So based on this, Rebbe explains beautifully, he says, since the whole idea of coming down into this physical world and with all the challenges and all the struggles, etc., is to show the power of the soul. The soul, wherever it is, it's connected to Hashem and the soul can be there. But after we went ahead and we did our avodah, the soul came down. And we know the soul's strong. We know, not conceptually, it could do it. We know it did it. So you don't have to do it anymore. And therefore, the what's going to happen when Mashiach comes, the real gift is not about coming down into this world, but that we're going to have, that the nations of the world are going to go ahead and take care of everything physical that we need. Sherry explains beautifully, and he says, ultimately, yes, right now, the reason why we have to come down to this world to elevate the world is to show the power of the soul that's not limited only to great things, it can even deal with the materialistic world. Once we know and we proved it's battle tested, the Shaman can do it, done, job done. Then when Mashiach comes, we can just busy with holy things. I never finish up, and he said, it should be the will of Hashem that by learning about these ideas, and as we know that just like when somebody learns about the laws of a carbon oila, it's as if you brought that sacrifice. So the same thing also when you learn about the laws of the libations, it's as if you brought the libations. And but when you bring the carbon oil and the carbon asachim, so you're literally elevating all four domains. Domeim sevei chaim medaber, and like it's explained at Lent in the Geras Hatshuva from the Alter Rebbe. And so therefore, it should be filled. That we should fill the promise that Hashem is going to take us standing upright. And over there in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to do the witz of Hashem, and Hashem is not going to hold us back, even like literally, like the blink of an eye, with the coming of Mashiach. And it's going to happen b'mheira v'yameinu mamash very, very soon and very, very quickly in a real way. So here we have another beautiful Chassidic discourse, how we have the power to go ahead and fix what the spies try to do, to stay away from the world and really get involved in the world. But remember that we're involved in the world just to show the real power of the neshama. But ultimately, when Mashiach comes, we're only going to deal with elevating the world and connecting to God in the most greatest ways. And like Rebbe said, it should happen very, very soon. And God willing, our next class will be Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov.